I'm Laura Murphy-Oates, and this is The Full Story. Australia's tough social distancing rules has made it pretty hard to connect with people in our lives, let alone new people. For single people looking to date, this time is particularly tough. But as our producer and avid dater, Ellen Levita, found out, finding connection in a pandemic is all about creativity.
So I work for The Guardian. I'm an audio producer, and I'm working on a story about dating in a time of coronavirus.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. And I am actually, like, a dater. I do date a lot, so...
Sure.
Today.
This is not just a job for me. This is a lifestyle.
Dating in lockdown.
I'm really flattered to be,
It's Friday, the 17th of April.
No,
just leave it. I'll keep an eye on the script for me.
I'll just be natural.
Ellen Leibeater is an audio producer at The Guardian.
So I'm 26. I live in Sydney, and my love life is dramatic, very involved.
Dramatic.
I live for the drama of, like, dating. I just find it a lot of fun.
How many dates would you say you go on a week usually?
I actually spreadsheeted this.
What?
Yeah, I tracked all my dates from the start of this year till the coronavirus hitting, and I worked out it's on average about two a week. So that's like first date, second date, third date sort of thing. Not a new person every week, but around, like, definitely a few dates a week.
This is the most Ellen response to that question I could have ever imagined.
The spreadsheet.
Okay, so when coronavirus started to hit, when did you realize that this might start to interfere with your robust dating life?
So, look, I heard about the social distancing things for a while, but I guess even though I work in the media, I don't think I took it as seriously as I should have. And it wasn't until, I can tell you the date, it was the 22nd of March.
Stage one would see that in enclosed spaces for gatherings in the following facilities as of midday tomorrow. Registered and licensed clubs.
When pubs were forced to close.
So that is in the licensed area, not in the accommodation area, but in the venues.
That was when I realised, okay, this, like, social distancing thing, it's going to change my dating life, because most of the places I meet people is at a bar or at a pub. And I actually had a date that Monday night with someone.
So the next day.
The next day, yep. So, and we were both like, well, I guess we can't do this date now because the pub we were going to go to is going to be shut.
Okay, so did that mean that you had to cancel the date? What kind of effect did this have?
No, we just, that weekend, just hung out at, like, this place near Manly Beach. You know, he bought some ciders. We just sat on a park bench 1.5 metres apart from each other and drank cider. And he said to me, this is the furthest away I've been from a woman on a date before.
I suppose 1.5 metres is a weird amount of distance just to have between you and anyone that you're hanging out with.
Yeah, the park bench made it less weird.
You're just at one end and he's at the other.
Yeah. But obviously an element of dating is, you know, a bit of a flirty touch, and there was none of that.
Okay, so from then onwards, how did your dating life start to change?
Actually, the Saturday that I had the, 1.5 metre park bench date, I actually organised to have a video date as well, because throughout this week I'd been talking to this one guy from a dating app called The League, and obviously we were making moves to meet up as well, but that got cancelled. So I suggested, let's do a video date. And so that Saturday night,
really loud, let the neighbours know. Come on.
After drinking maybe a bit too much wine.
Hands up in the chat.
And dancing in my living room to a live stream DJ set. It was almost like a real Saturday night out as a single person. You know, you're dancing, you're drinking, you're about to meet a guy, except you were just meeting this guy over video call.
Okay, I'm pausing. I've got to quickly mute Hot Tub Time Machine. to give you a quick like update before this guy calls me. Okay, so his name is Nicholas. He's currently calling now. I've met him on the league and we are picking up the call. Hello.
Hey, how you going?
I'm good. How are you? Sorry, I realize I haven't got any lights on because Earth Hour, so let me turn on a light.
And was this the first time you'd had a date like that?
Yeah, it was my first video date, and maybe it was the alcohol, maybe it was the novelty of the situation, but I thought it went really quite well. You know, we had the attractive things are about his profile to me were that he was vegan, like I'm vegetarian. He said he was an avid reader. I'm also a big reader. He was a hiker. You know, I'm into sports. So I thought we matched on a lot of levels there. And it was kind of fun. Like we got to show each other our houses.
Can you show me your bookshelf?
So I saw his bookshelf.
We have the same bookshelf.
We actually had the same bookcase, which is weird.
Yep.
It's a great bookshelf, and then I've got, like, books there as well. And one of them is double stack.
Wow.
But yeah, I got to see that he was actually a reader. I got to see his room. His room was very neat.
This is so interesting, like, being able to see people's houses.
I know. So these are like, the ones that I bought and haven't read.
And I think it gave an interesting level of insight into the person who you're going on a date with that you don't normally get to see on a first date.
But I would keep going, but my friend is over with a wine delivery, so I am going to have to sign off. But maybe we should try in person if we're not locked down from Sunday?
Yeah, for sure. Let's do it in person sometime.
Okay, all right. I will message you and we'll set something up for this week, next week.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Enjoy your night. Bye.
I actually had a friend who went through a similar experience. I put out a shout out for, people's dating stories under coronavirus. And she kind of got back to me and was like, oh, I'm about to go on my first date on a video conference. She was having it on FaceTime. And I was like, oh, keep me posted. She kept me up afterwards and told me that it was actually more relaxing than a regular date because a lot of the pressure was taken off. You know, she just had a beer and gave him a bit of a tour around her house. But she said she was a bit unsure, whether there was a connection at the end of it, whether she could, legitimately tell whether there was a connection just by video conferencing someone. Did you have a similar experience?
I can understand why it's hard to have a connection with someone on video conference, but I think that does actually cut out a lot of the time wasting that you do on a first date usually. So, you don't have to go to a bar, sit and talk to someone over a drink or maybe two to work out whether or not you like them. Like, you can tell in like a 15-minute phone conversation that is it. I think I got really lucky with this guy that I had a video chat with that it did feel like there was a connection there. But like I said, could be the alcohol, could be the novelty of it.
So you go on this virtual date with Nick. What happens next?
We were chatting. We're like, let's organize a second date. He kind of was like, these laws are changing so quickly. Let's try and meet up as soon as possible. And my calendar is pretty open. So I was like, sure, let's meet up Monday night.
Okay. I am on my way to meet Nick for a date for a red wine and to watch the sunset. 1.5 meters away, of course.
And so we did. We went for a walk along the harbor. Had a glass of wine. It was all very romantic, watched the sunset, and we parted ways at about 8 o'clock at night. And then,
and as of midnight last night, strict lockdown laws are in place.
4 hours later, New South Wales introduced strict laws on social gathering so that you could only leave the house for a reasonable excuse. And surprise, surprise, dating is not a reasonable excuse.
You cannot leave the home unless you have one of the six valid reasons, either for work, education, medical visit, compassion visit, essential shopping or exercise. So although it is legal to be in...
This effectively ends meeting up with people in person dates. Is that right?
Yes. On the surface, this effectively ends in-person meetups for a date.
So unless you have a reason, unless you have a very good reason to be outside your house, you are in lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this experience of suddenly having your dates become outlawed sent you on a bit of a journey. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, yeah. So I use dating apps quite a bit, and I was really interested to find out what other people were doing and what the apps were doing. You know, effectively, a lot of these apps, their business model is to get you off the dating app and finding your perfect match in person. So, yeah, I wanted to know, are people still dating? How are they dating? Or is everyone just given up now?
Yeah. Okay, so how did you start to look into this?
Hi, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes,
excellent. Yes, I can hear you.
So I spoke to a few of the dating apps that operate here in Australia, and I guess a lot of them had the same realization that I was having, that coronavirus was effectively changing their business model.
Do you remember the moment when you realized that COVID-19 might have a bit of an impact on dating?
Oh man, I know. This is like the where were you at 9/11 question for us in the States. I think, you know, I was in New York and was flying back at the beginning of March, and it was just starting when I went out that people were not shaking hands and we weren't, you know, hugging. And I started realizing that that's obviously something you do for dating. You're meeting new people, brand new people. So the cultural norms became, I guess, totally flip-flopped. Now everyone's touching elbows or things like that. So it was like very small things. I'm like, well, that's going to make it harder.
So I spoke with Amanda Bradford. She's the CEO and founder of The League, which is a dating app based out of San Francisco, but they're all over the world, including quite recently, Sydney. So The League sells itself as a dating app for the, and I quote, overly ambitious. So think of it as a dating app for young professionals.
We saw the usage was pretty flat in the sense that, you know, we weren't seeing like a ton less users logging in, but we weren't seeing a ton more users logging in. But what we did see a huge change in was the amount of engagement per user.
She said that they're seeing people log in a lot more often on the app and messaging more of their matches. So she used the example that previously you would see someone log in like once a week, but now you're seeing people log in multiple times a week and message multiple of their matches.
So we're seeing like a lot more chatter.
Bumble is also seeing something similar. So Bumble is an app where women have to make the first move in speaking with a match. And I spoke to Lucille McCart, who is the country lead for Bumble Australia. And Lucille told me that they're seeing a
23% increase in the number of messages sent.
And the reason that they're all saying this is that people want connection in these times, and people also have a bit more time to dedicate to dating now that they're sitting at home.
We're communicating so much more than probably we ever have. What we're really trying to show people is that what's happening right now is physical distancing. It's actually not social distancing, you know. You're not allowed to leave the house. You're in that physical isolation, but our social connections and our social lives are still just as strong and just as important as it was ever before.
I suppose the reason why a lot of people go on apps is to eventually meet someone in person and begin dating them. Surely some of this is a bit frustrating or pointless, talking to people on the apps when you can't meet them at the moment.
Well, I think like messaging back and forth is a little bit pointless, but what a lot of these apps are seeing is that people are getting around that frustration by going on video dates. So The League, for example, has seen an increase in people using League Live.
What's League Live?
So it's like speed video dating. So at 9 o'clock on the east coast of Australia, on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, you can log on and you can have 3-minute speed dates with people. I actually did this. It's quite fun.
How does that work?
Push the blinking button at 9 p.m. sharp to request entry to League Live.
You press a button and get at 9 o'clock and you're like, okay, I'm here. I'm ready to do this.
Two, one, Checking your speed date status. And we're live. Okay, push to start.
You get your glass of wine. And then, it scrolls through, finds you a potential match.
Oh, I have a match. Hi. Do you mind if I record this conversation?
You want to record it?
Yeah, I can explain.
You talk for 3 minutes and then afterwards you can like them to go back to their profile.
Well, let me just start by actually saying, hi, Alex. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, so they've said that they've seen an increase in people using that feature, but they've also seen an increase in people using the, like, video chat. So in your, like, messages, there's an option to use video chat. And they said they were seeing people talk for up to an hour on that. And after an hour, it cuts off, right? And so apparently people are talking for an hour, and then when it cuts off, they're calling each other back and continuing to talk.
What was interesting is we saw people really hanging out on the phone for long periods of time. It wasn't like these were 5 or 10 minute video calls. There was a lot of users having, you know, going to that max hour and then going to it again and then going to it again. So I think people were using it really as like kind of a hangout session. So I thought that was really interesting.
Their hypothesis is that people are like seriously looking for a connection and making shared experiences in this time. So they might be cooking, they might be watching a TV show together, something like that. Bumble's the same. They've said they've seen an increase in people using video call, but their chats are only about 14 minutes long.
Do we know who is doing this? Is there any particular type of demographic? We know that, the apps skew young in terms of their users generally. Did they tell you anything about that?
I think it's just a norm that people are used to based on the services that they've been using.
Yeah. So I spoke about this with Justin McLeod. He's the CEO of Hinge. Hinge is an app that is a bit more personality based rather than picture based. And Justin told me that 70% of their users are keen to try video chat. But he did say that that's mostly their younger users. So he said that their older users were a little bit more reluctant to try video dating.
If you grew up using Snapchat and grew up using things like that, I think it's different than the generation that grew up using Facebook. I think that that's the main thing. Is it a norm for you to just jump on a video call with a friend or take a quick selfie? Is that sort of part of your normal behavior, or is that something that's foreign to you? And if you're already doing it with your friends, then it's not a huge stretch to imagine doing it with a potential date.
Okay, so these apps are all kind of pivoting. They're trying to get people to meet via video, but surely that is a bit of a tough sell, saying use this app to talk but not meet up.
It is a tough sell, but that's exactly what these apps are hoping for. They're extremely optimistic that you're going to form a connection or maybe a few connections with someone or a lot of people on the app and meet up with them after all this is blown over.
Oh, you know, if you have a great connection with someone, that doesn't just go away, you know, overnight. I think definitely I can understand people feeling a bit frustrated with the situation they're in. But I think if you are talking to someone and you're having a great connection, it's just about finding ways to keep that exciting over the next couple of weeks or months before you can actually meet them in person.
You know, people do spend these sort of lengths of time doing long distance relationships, so it's not completely impossible for this to happen. But I think there is something to be said about the importance of a physical connection when dating.
Right, because when I was dating on these apps, I never used to chat to people for very long periods of time. I would basically just go, hey, yeah, cool, you seem fine, want to meet up for a drink? Because I think you can tell a lot just by meeting someone in the first 30 seconds that you can't tell by chatting.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between, you know, messaging someone. I'd say the next step up is video chatting someone, but, you know, to really know someone, you have to meet them in person.
Next, how some people are getting creative and others are giving up.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rose. I'm 26 years old. I live in Sydney, and I'm a gay boy.
You were going to say I'm a gay boy.
I know. It's very on brand, isn't it? I should get business cards with it made up.
I spoke to my friend Andrew Rose, who's very skeptical of this whole video dating thing because mainly because of the value that he places on a physical connection.
I think it's very optimistic to look at the situation and go, you could build a relationship that is the beginning of a proper relationship over video chats without any kind of physical contact, because just so much of the communication that comes through is so based in the presence around the people. Even if you can see them on video, you're not getting that kind of aura that you get if you were sitting with someone and chatting with them. And bloody lag on video chats, they do me head in. You can't get to like anyone if all you can see is them talking to you a half a second later than a normal person would be responding to you.
And he says that for him, dating is a lot about being able to sleep with someone at the end of a first date.
I don't want to sell myself as a loose boy, but the back end of a date would generally be me going and sleeping with the person. And that's obviously not like a physical option to do with someone at the end of a video date.
You wouldn't even do the date at all because you know you're not going to get have sex at the end of it.
That's a big part of it, yeah. I probably would do a video date, but I just will have much lower expectations. I don't think I'll be going into this with any kind of want or gusto. I would just be doing it to maybe fill time while I kind of pass the many quarantined days away.
So he has made the decision that, you know, he's pretty much not going to date for the while this is happening because he can't get close to anyone.
Okay, so Andrew's decided he's not going to date during this time. Have you come across anyone else who has radically changed their dating life?
Yeah, so I came across this one guy.
So I'm Jordan. I'm 20 or late 20s.
Who decided that he was going to get a little bit creative with the meeting up rules.
So met this person on Tinder, got chatting, actually realised we had people that, like, mutual people that we would have known and different things. And
he met up with his date at Coles, at a shopping centre.
Like, initially it was a sort of a joke. I said, well, we could go to Coles and do a, you know, essential shop. And before I knew it, we're in aisle two studying the steaks.
He arranged a date at Coles. How does that work?
You know, you meet outside the shops.
It gives you ample time, particularly now that they're making you wait to get into the store, so it's even giving you more time, to get to know someone in an environment that's certainly not pretentious, it's certainly not stuffy.
He spoke about how it's kind of a little bit exciting because you've got to sort of pretend you know the person.
It's sort of fun because you also are sort of naughty and mysterious because you're doing something you shouldn't. So you almost have to act like you know the person already. So the questions that you have to ask have to be a little bit more veiled, like, oh, yes, you know, Thai sauce. Have you ever been to Thailand? Like, you know, you've got to sort of act as if the SS is watching your date, which is, it adds sort of a thrill and a level of excitement to it.
And he says it's a new level of intimacy to experience.
You know, you learn about their food choices, their tastes. You see sort of, you know, if they buy branded goods or if they're, you know, a tight ass and they're buying, you know, the Coles brand stuff. Like, you learn such intimate details about them. Like, even down to, like, there was a choice of toilet paper, which I know in these times is quite a thing. Like, even, you know, seeing if they choose 3-ply or 2-ply. Like, it was just, it's a whole new level of intimacy on the first date.
I feel like you would have to be pretty selective about what you go shopping for if you're doing a shopping date, right? Like, you don't want to be going and picking up some tampons on the first date.
Well, I think it's probably a good a yardstick, right? Like, how do they react when they're in the personal toiletries aisle? Are they embarrassed by your tampons?
You know, you're just getting such insights. Even stuff like, you know, judging them if they put their bananas in a plastic bag in the produce section. Like, you know, you can tell if they're environmentally conscious. Like, it's just, it's fascinating. And plus, Coles radio is the perfect soundtrack to a first date.
Okay, so how did Jordan's Coles shopping date go in the end? Is there going to be a second date?
So they did kick on after Coles.
The person that I was with had to get some A4 paper and Coles was sold out. So we took the gamble and we ventured up one floor to Target. And
they, you know, took it to the next level, quite literally, by going one floor up to Target to get some A4 paper.
Going to second base is just going to Officeworks now.
And then he said that if the date had gone really well, they could have gone to Dan Murphy's, but I don't think it got to third base. But in the end, no, a second date is not looking likely for Jordan with this particular person.
Look, the ultimate test with the Coles date is, can you handle the self-serve checkout? And the person I went with couldn't handle the self-serve checkout, so it was a deal breaker.
So this Coles date, it is kind of skirting the boundaries of what is allowed in terms of social distancing right now.
Look, I don't think we can condone this type of behaviour. Like, I'm not saying that everyone should go out and have a Coles date, but I will admit that I myself have been on a few exercise dates. So it's in a similar vein.
What do you mean exercise dates?
Well, you know, you put on Lycra, you put on joggers, you meet in a public place, go for a walk, go for a run, or in my case, a cycle, because I do love cycling.
Of course.
So, yeah, technically these things are allowed, and it is slightly pushing the boundaries, but I think it's a real risk-benefit analysis that we're weighing up as single people at this time. On a more serious note, do you think that, does like the seriousness of the coronavirus cross your mind at all when you're meeting up with these people?
Look, and this is something that I've actually toyed with, and I've thought about it a lot, you know, because there is a lot of, you know, conjecture surrounding leaving your home. As I say, I practice social distancing, which is, you know, extremely important. I feel comfortable enough with the people that I am actually going out with, and I trust them enough in the sense that, you know, you've just got to have sort of the understanding that it's a risk. And of course, I say there, you know, when I sort of suggest it, or if they sort of say, oh, I wish we could catch up, and I, you know, will say, well, we could do that, I also say there's no expectation. And I say I don't expect you to attend if it would put you or your family or anyone you know at risk.
How do you feel about this risk-benefit analysis for yourself right now? Because there's a lot to weigh up on going on a date with someone. It's not just your health, it's other people's health right now, right?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, whoever that person's in contact with as well. It's like the family and friends that I'm in contact with still, which at the moment, luckily, is quite non-existent. So I'm very lucky that I'm not in contact with anybody who is vulnerable to coronavirus. So I understand that it probably is a bit of a privilege for me to go out and date and not have that weighing on me at all. So I guess like the risk-benefit analysis, for me, dating is worth it right now. Like the not dating fills me with more stress than taking the risk and being outdoors with one person 1.5 meters away from me. But I guess the big question for me is when like the 1.5 meter rule starts to become a real restriction. Like when you do want to have that physical intimacy, what happens then? And I'm definitely not at that stage yet with anyone, but I guess if or when that time comes, there will have to be some frank conversations about the health risks at that point.
So we know that a lot of things about how we live our lives are going to change at the end of all this. Do you think we're going to see some permanent changes to dating?
Well, the three apps that I spoke to, so Bumble, Hinge and The League, they're all predicting that video dating is going to become a much bigger part of our dating lives as we get used to doing it over the next few months. So it's interesting because Bumble actually had a video capability within the app since June last year, but nobody really knew about it or used it. And the reason they had that was for women. So you could video call a date and check that you felt safe with that person before actually meeting up with, you know, a stranger in person. So, you know, now we're using it for a different purpose, but I don't see why now we wouldn't go back to that original purpose. Like it makes sense to do this as a safety thing before meeting someone random.
And do you think that you're going to change the way that you date personally?
Yes, I think I definitely will still be video dating once all this is over. It will save so much time weeding out the scum doing a video date, and it will, I think it's going to give me more time to actually go on quality dates with people whose company I'm going to enjoy. And I do actually think I will be doing much more exercise dating in the future too once all this is over.
As long as you don't combine them, I think video cycling dates is...
I think that could be a bit dangerous. Although there is a program where you can do that.
That's it for today. Thanks to everyone that shared their story for this episode, including our producer, Ellen Leibeater. You can read her article on dating in a pandemic at theguardian.com. It's out today. This episode was produced by Ellen Leibeater and Joe Koning. Our executive producers are Miles Martignoni and Gabrielle Jackson. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you Monday.